Greetings. This is Matt Miller, pastor at The Village Church. The Village Church is a community committed to fixing our eyes on God, loving each other as Christ loved us, and sacrificially serving our neighbors. We hope that the content of this message will encourage you to deepen your spiritual walk, to embrace the riches of God's grace in Christ for you, and to compel you to live a life of love. We invite you to join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. as we gather together.
We've been journeying through a reflection on what life in the kingdom of heaven is like, and also one of our values as the Village Church. And the bottom line there is love, choosing to care for others, and we've been reminded that we love because he first loved us. And so we're going to continue to reflect on that foundational value that we have as those who have received and experienced God's great love for us. And I'm going to start with John 17. Love is being. It's being like Jesus. It's being like God. And John 17 is a prayer. Jesus prays. And so let's listen to the prayer that Jesus prays to his Father. It's found in John chapter 17, verses 20. And the heading in many of our Bibles says, Jesus prays for all believers. He prays for those that his disciples would proclaim his message to and that they would receive it. So I think we probably would fall in that category as we're all believers. And so John chapter 17, let's just listen to Jesus' prayer for us as we reflect on this foundational value that we have. My prayer is not only for my immediate disciples, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. To be with Father, I want my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make known you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. That's the prayer that Jesus offers for us, that he would be in us, and that when that happens, there would be this reflection of God's nature and God's glory for those around us. That's a deep prayer that God has for us, that his love would be rooted so incredibly deeply in us that his glory would shine through us. So love is being. Love is worshiping. Our expression of love is actually worship. And Romans 12, I think, is a great chapter that describes that. Paul writes, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. And in Jesus, we know that that's what love is. This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we are invited into that foundational expression of sacrificial love for others. This is your spiritual act of worship. And then in Romans 12, there's the description of what that love looks like, what that worship, that sacrifice looks like as demonstrated through the followers of Jesus. Paul writes, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. This is our spiritual act of worship. Love is worship. Love is honoring. We saw it right here. Honor one another. That honor is built into God's creation. In Genesis chapter 1:27, we read that God created us in his image. And in the ancient world, it's kind of a fascinating historical reality that when a temple was constructed, the image of the deity was placed in the temple. And the motivation as one came into the temple was to honor the idol, to care for that idol because it represented the presence of the deity in that place. That's kind of a wild image that as we think about Genesis 1 and creation as God creating his temple, his sanctuary, he places his image in his temple. Us. This is my image, and this is how you honor me, by honoring each other, by caring for each other. And so love is heavy, isn't it? Love is deep. Love is being. It's being like God, reflecting God. Love is our worship. And love is caring for one another. It's honoring others. Ah! Uh-oh. I don't know how that happened. That wasn't supposed to happen. Is that going to happen again? It might. It didn't. Applause for our technicians. Yeah, I know. So the question for us is as the church, as the gathered followers of Jesus, what What kind of culture are we? Last week, I heard somebody describe the church as he said, there's having two cultures, and this individual has observed this over in my experiences, and he said, one, there are fear of the world church cultures, and there are love your neighbor church cultures. And as we reflect on and have reflected on the kingdom of God as revealed and brought by Jesus, and as we look at the foundation of our values as the Village Church, it's a good question to ask ourselves and to be intentional about and to be in. Are we a love your neighbor church culture, or are we a fear the world church culture? Because fear is tempting, isn't it? Fear is tempting. Because that's what we're bathed in here, isn't it? Media, how can we scare people, right? I mean, really, turn on the news. I mean, everything in the news is always like something fear-filled. There's so much in this world that can just kind of draw us into anxiety and to fear, and so this cultural observer said, even in this body called the church, these people who say they're following Jesus, who are invited into a different kingdom, seem to be colored by the culture. Because I see a lot of church cultures that just seem to be saturated in fear. Fear, suspicion of the world, judgment of the world, fixation on the bad behavior of those people in the world. They just live in fear. Ah, we're afraid. We're anxious. We're suspicious. We're judgmental, right? We let the world get into us. That's the world's language. That's the language that the world speaks is fear. That's the wisdom of the world. Be afraid. But then he said, you know what? But there's also love your neighbor church cultures. We're a love your neighbor church culture. It's a beautiful thing to see. To be a part of a love your neighbor church culture. Because you just come out of the resurrection, right? The resurrection. And in the resurrection, we know, because we believe, because we've been baptized to resurrection life. And so there's this echo of 1 John 4, 1 John 5, perfect love drives out fear. First John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 5. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. And so we are overcomers. We as the church are a love your neighbor culture. And when we slip into the worldly wisdom and ways of fear the world, it looks off, doesn't it? Wait, that does not, no. I had a moment like that last week. We live across the street from an Amish family. And my name is Matt Miller. They're also Millers, right? So we go way back, right? But living across the street from an Amish family, what happened? But when you place yourself as deeply into, you know, like the 1800s as you can, and you live in a 21st century world, your needs kind of, you know. So regularly at 7 o'clock in the morning, we get visitors, you know, the dogs start barking. Here's your phone. Or, you know what, could you drive me an hour and a half away to the chiropractor? Okay, so we want to be generous, don't we? You know, as servants and as humans, right? This thought came into my mind last week. I'm probably not going to do this, but maybe you can counsel me a little bit. I was thinking about, you know, one of these days asking my fellow Miller, why don't you just stop being Amish? Right? I mean, it's like, I mean, at what point are you no longer Amish? You know what I mean? You're using my smartphone, right? I mean, you're using my gas-powered combustion engine. And you're fine. At what point are you, can you just not be Amish? But as I thought about that, I'm like, how does that, someone in the Old Testament came to mind, a guy named Jonah. Jonah. God said to Jonah, go to Nineveh. Did Jonah exude a heart of love and compassion to cross a boundary, right? I'm Israel. We're God's people. Nineveh is a part of the Assyrian Empire, right? They're bad. They're evil. They're wicked. They're scary. They're dangerous. They're not like us. What did Jonah do? I mean, if you went to Sunday school, you probably remember, you know. Jonah went, he's not on the map there, right? He went that away, into the water. And he boarded a ship. And the waves started crashing. And the people on the ship were like, something's stirring up in the realm of the gods. So let's see what's going on. And this Jonah guy appears and says, you know what, I'm actually afraid of the world. God called me to bring his message of judgment upon this Assyrian capital, Nineveh. But I don't like them. They're not like me. They're evil. And so I don't want to go there. What happened as a result of that? Threw him overboard, right? And then he went. But it's fascinating. Jonah's attitude. What is Jonah's attitude about this? Amazingly, he finally went, and amazingly, he found in the Ninevites a repentant spirit. A spirit that, wait, they actually want to turn to the living God and stop following their idols and their wicked ways? How did Jonah respond to that? Jonah was greatly displeased. Oh. Not only he became angry. Jonah became angry that those people actually responded to the good news.
I know. I knew it. I knew it. You're gracious and compassionate. You're slow to anger. You're abounding in love. A God who relents from sending calamity. Oh Lord, take away my life, for it's better for me to die than to live. And then God's like, do you have a right to be angry? And he says it again. He repeats himself. Jonah, do you have a right to be angry? How does God wrap up this letter, Jonah, this prophetic word? What does God say? Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that city? What a way to wrap. Should I not be concerned about that city? Don't fear the world. Love your neighbor. They don't know their left hand from the right. They're wandering, wicked. Go to them. Go. Is that our heart? Go to them. Are we a love your neighbor church culture, where we have that heart? Go to them. This morning, we're celebrating a love your neighbor culture. As we have some distinguished servants, some eager servants in our midst who model this for us. Love your neighbor. Tutapona. We're supporters of a mission organization called Tutapona. The heart of this organization, the people behind this are eager, fervent in love of neighbor. That's our buddy there, second to the right. That's Carl Gady. He's from the area. What an amazing work of going into places that are hostile. Places that people are running away from. Where's everybody going? Carl felt the weight, the word of the Spirit in his being. Like, I'm not running away from this war-torn place, this place where people are grieving and spiritual and emotionally and mentally traumatized. I'm going right into it. And so as mission groups are leaving places like Uganda, here's Carl. He's going right into it. Ministering to broken. One person, participant in their program in Ukraine, said, I can smile again. And actually smile again. It's in your life where it's actually like, I mean, can you win victory that you can actually smile again? But it's war. It's a horror in life that brings you to the place where you can actually find in yourself, through the power of God and his servants, you actually smile again. Ukraine. So do you know that? So we support Tutapona Mission Organ. Did you know that the chair of the board of directors of Tutapona lives here? Is sitting here right now? Yeah, Kathy. She's in the back.
chair the board of directors for Tutapona. She's heading to Ukraine on Tuesday. Her and Julie Gady are going to support, equip, teach. They've put together curriculum and studies to help train staff in the Ukraine to bring gospel truth, the good news, to the staff there so that that staff can be equipped to do their work even better. What an awesome love your neighbor work. More love your neighbor work. Who wants to go to Uganda? Anybody afraid to go to Uganda? Did you know that this Tuesday, our founding pastor is going to Uganda to continue work that's been going on for over a decade with some other pastors in this area? The lead team, Converge pastors here, have been going to Uganda, teaching, equipping, raising up pastors to do the work of ministering in that place. What an awesome love your neighbor work. We're invited to do love your neighbor work everywhere, right? We're a love your neighbor church. We are sent to love our neighbor. Remember, Jesus encountered someone who was curious about that? And at the end of that scene, telling of that story, the Good Samaritan, we're familiar with that one. Who was the neighbor? Who's our neighbor? Those who have a need. Those who are marinating in the world of fear and pain and hurt and confusion. That's our neighbor. And so we're called and sent, as we experience God's love, to go and reflect that love to each other.
We appreciate you taking the time to listen. We hope these words serve to strengthen you, to deepen your faith, or to draw you to faith in Christ. For us, that faith and following Jesus compels us to love and serve others. And that shapes us. It shapes our identity here at the Village Church. We know that God's desire is that we would both love Him and love our neighbor. We would love to see you. We welcome you to join us on location every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. We are located at 1650 8th Avenue in Baldwin, Wisconsin. As you go into this week, may your joy be rooted in Jesus as you seek Him first.